Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. You know, sometimes those icebreakers end up causing arguments. What you don't know is the counselors put them up to that stuff for job security. The problem is when the counselor gets into an argument. I'm teasing. We did not get into an argument. God bless you. And thank you for, Pastor, thank you, and for letting me come. Thank you all for being here and giving up your time. I'd say sacrificing it, but the end result of having a better relationship is, it's so worth it that really, in the end analysis, it's not a sacrifice. Having said that, most, if not all of you, have had a full day, and look at the house today. It's tonight. It's full. So thank you for being here. And I want to try to add something good to what you already have. So that's my hope, is to get behind your church to strengthen these relationships and add something good to what you already have. And I want to echo what your pastor said. I feel like God will help us. If we just give him a little bit of a chance, he will help us, and that's good, because that's the beauty of this environment versus some other secular seminar where the information comes, but the Spirit of God may not be there. So I'm glad about that. I'm also thankful for my wife being here. We don't always get to travel together, but this time we did. I think it's our first time introducing her to this church, so I'm glad she's here. She's got it made because she's married to a marriage counselor. Just like every, you know, carpenter's wife has it made because she's married to a, you know, that's not the truth. There is no vocation in the world that somehow takes away the hard work of building and maintaining relationships. You just don't get there. And so we have to do the same work that you have to do to build and maintain strong relationships. And you would think that over time it gets easier, and to some degree that's true. But at the same time, our life morphs. And we're different people, and so in some regard, we're learning new things with each season of life. No children, children, grandchildren. We talked a lot about grandchildren and other life events, and so again, we just keep working because, echoing what your pastor said, strong families ultimately make strong churches, and it usually doesn't work necessarily the other way around. So I have a lot to present, and I figured that if I just dive right in, I should be done somewhere around midnight, and you'll be too tired to do anything else, and you'll go right to bed and come, and we'll have breakfast early in the morning. I know better than that. Let's figure out who's in the room. If you've been married, let's say 0 to 5 years, would you please raise your hand? 0 to 5 years. If you forgot already, that's a problem. 6 to 10. Okay. 11 to about, let's go to about 17. Okay. Let's go from 18 to 25. And let's go 25 and up. Wow, bravo. Wow. So a very nice mix, actually. This is really good. It's going to come in handy later on. So bravo, congrats to those who are the newest in the house, and I think there are some really newlyweds, but also for those who have been married for a long time. And in our society, that is rare, more and more rare. And so congrats to those people, and I'm glad you're here. I want to tell you a couple stories that have helped informed this work and my experience along the way. One comes from Okinawa, Japan, and I was there doing a marriage conference. It was maybe 3 or 4 days, kind of like this one, and ended on a Sunday. And Sunday morning, I taught a lesson, and I think the lesson was relatively simple. And then I gave an altar call, and a couple came forth, and they had to help each other to the altar. So I'm going to put them somewhere in or close to their 80s. And they helped each other down, and they prayed. Now, here's what typically happens. Well, it's been my experience, is that people have been married 30, 40, 50 years. They come to these things, but they don't really come so much for themselves at that point. They're coming to support, because the truth of the matter is, they're really not going to learn a whole lot new. No, it's true. They'll be reminded, and they'll get a chance to fellowship and interact, but they're not learning a whole lot of new tricks. I knew that was the case with this couple. So I thought, well, look at that. They're setting an example because this is how you stay married. And they came to the altar. And I thought, nice going. I figured they would just do kind of a cursory visit to the altar, kneel down, stay 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and say, this is what you should be doing, and get up and go back to their seat. They were the first one at the altar, and they were the last ones to leave the altar. Well, at some point, I was intrigued, and I'm going, so what's that about? And they were praying, and so I waited around and talked to people, and when they were done, I was done talking, they were done praying, I stopped them, and the lady and the man greeted me and said, oh, Sensei, thank you. Thank you for the teaching. That was really good teaching. And I'm looking at them, I'm going, I know for a fact you learned nothing new. But they were very complimenting, and I said, what was that about? What was what about? You were the first one at the altar. You were the last ones to leave. And you know everything I've already said. What was going on? And the husband looked at the wife, and the wife looked at the husband, and they gave me the look like, wow, you don't know? And neither spoke. And I thought, let me try it again. So I asked him. I went straight for the guy. I said, what was that about? He just looked at me, and he goes, that's how we've stayed married so long. Like, duh, and turned and walked away. I thought, of course, of course. Yeah, you don't get to a point where somehow or another you no longer need that experience at the altar. And what he was trying to say was, true, we didn't need the last 3 days with you, but we needed that experience at the altar. And I thought, of course, what was I thinking? You never get to a point where you don't need that. And so thank you for those who are here, and you've been married for so long that you're not going to hear one thing new, but you've come anyway. You're a support, and what you can do is you can impart. When it's time to pray, you can impart, and when it's time to interact, you can add those nuggets of wisdom to the rest of us as we are learning and praying that we're going to get to where you are. And it doesn't mean you have to be married 40 years before you figure something out. Some of you have been married for 10 or 15 and you've got some things figured out. It'd be nice to hear those as we progress through the night. Couple more stories. And I'm really aware of the time, by the way. My wife and I left our home this morning. It was 5-something a.m., so I'm really cognizant of the time, and I won't, you know. If I'm still in the middle of a story, like an hour from now, I'm just going to stop and go, dismissed, you know. So a friend of mine called me, and he said, hey, man. He said, I've got a couple in my church, and they're struggling. They need help, and they've just been married for a little while. They're newlyweds. Can you come and help? I've tried, and it's not working. Can you come and help? So I said, yeah, no problem. And I drove a couple hours in a small vehicle. It was a Geo Metro. I called it my Lamborghini. This thing, you had to turn the AC off when you went up a hill. It was, right? And so here I am driving in this thing, and I'm loving it, right? I'm just driving, and the Lord speaks to me. And the Lord speaks to me and says, he doesn't love her like he should. And I thought, me, Lord? Well, I mean, I didn't want to argue with God, but I was like, no, I do. I really love her. I do, Lord, and teach me. I'll do better, but I do love her. I wasn't sure what that rebuke was about, but I was receiving it. God was speaking to me, and so I was like stunned a little bit. I'm driving more, and I hear it again. He doesn't love her, and I'm going, Lord, you're not talking about me. You're talking to me. I was so excited. I pulled my car over, and I was on a highway. I pulled all the way over, got to the farthest side of the shoulder, got to the passenger side of my car, and I was just shouting. I was so happy. God was talking to me, but he wasn't talking about me. I was so excited. I was hearing from the Lord, and it wasn't about me. Oh. So I get to the church, and I meet the pastor, and he tells me the couple will be here in a few moments, and I said, no problem, we'll just wait here. And they come in, and she is 73, he is 75. Hyperventilating over here. He forgot that little detail. He said, newlyweds, I made the assumption, young people. And so I'm looking at people who have been, they've been alive almost twice as long as I have. I'm looking at them going, oh, this is going to be interesting. So we start to talk, and it turns out, after about 20 minutes, I learn that his first wife, whom he had been married for over 40 years, had passed away, and that was his love. But at some point, he was ready to have companionship, and so was she. She had never been married before through whatever life circumstances, and he never was able to love her like he loved his first wife. It was his love. And so about 20 or 30 minutes in, I said, I've got to tell you something, and please don't be offended because, you know, counselors don't tend to take sides. But when I was driving here, God was very clear. And I looked at him and I said, he said, you don't love her like you're supposed to. The lady who had been stone-faced the entire time, just very cold and hard, you could see the years that life had put on her face. She was stone-faced, took her hands and buried them, or her face, and buried them in hands and just began to weep, and so did the man. And that's when he told me, he said, I do, but, and he told me the story and I got it. And he said, I'll try. And I said, here's what you got to know. God cares so much about your relationship that he spoke to me on the highway. And to you, I'm a stranger. But you're his kid, and he spoke to me on the highway about you. And that's what he cares. That's what he thinks about your relationship. And if God is interested in your relationship, that's a good sign. That means he is leading you, and he's leading people to you. Hang in there. God's got some things going on. Just stay faithful and be consistent. And it took some time for them to work through the real issues of life. Because even when the Spirit of God, and you got to hear this, even when the Spirit of God moves upon you and there's a change of heart, you still have to work through the real issues of life. You've got to learn to do something different. You've got to learn to do something in a way that God can bless. The Spirit of the Lord will help you, but it won't do the work for you. Somebody said amen. Amen. One last thing, and I'm purposely setting the stage for what I hope God will do with us over this weekend. Same scenario, different church, further away, pastor called, and he wanted to clear his conscience. He said, I've tried. There's no hope for these people. They are done with each other. I just want a professional to look at it and tell me that's true. So I met with these folks, and both the Japanese couple and the first couple I gave, and this story, they gave me permission to share this or I wouldn't otherwise. But I met with this couple, and he was right. They were done. They were done with each other, and they were a part of a pretty large church, and they literally would sit on opposite sides of the church with 200, 300 people between them. But they were done with the relationship. Not only had there been a final straw that broke the camel's back, but there had been a long history of stuff that had piled up that wasn't resolved. And they just let it kind of pile up. And when that last straw was there, it took the whole thing down, and they were burned. And so I told the pastor, I said, you know, you're right. Barring a miracle, I don't see this surviving. There's not much I can do either. But they refused to leave, and so they attended the same church. I preached that Sunday. I don't recall what I preached. It was probably not a very good message. I'm okay with saying that. I can do it again on Sunday. Watch. And it was you're going to be so jealous because it was like 20 minutes long. On Sunday, I'm keeping you at least an hour. And I said, you know, I made an altar call. And they came, and they had staked out, not only had they staked out different parts of the sanctuary, they had claimed different parts of the altar. Now, that won't work for very long. And so the one spouse came, and I don't remember if the husband or the wife, to one side and the other one to the other side, and the altar area arched. And so where I was standing, I could see both sides, but they could not see each other. But at some point, I saw something that startled me. It caught my attention because they both stood up at the exact same time. And so from both peripherals, I was seeing this this thing. And not only that, but they both did these very sharp, almost military-like turns inward. And that caught my attention too. And so that I'm watching them, and they're both walking this direction. And they don't see each other, probably until they're 20 feet away. And by that time, the altar area doesn't arch as much, and they could see each other, and they were walking toward each other, and I'm standing there stunned. I'm at the podium like this, and I'm stunned watching these two people, and they walk, and they get right in front of the podium here, and I'm watching this, and they turn to me, and it looks like a wedding. I love it. I'm going, I don't even know what to say. Matter of fact, I didn't say anything. God didn't need me so far. I didn't want to open my mouth and ruin it. But I could see it. I was like, God, you're performing a wedding. I mean, they're literally standing here. And I had to eventually say something. And so I just went down, and I got close enough to be able to hear. And I don't think I said anything. I just looked at them and kind of, and the husband spoke up. And he says, I feel God. And I don't think we're done. And she said the same thing. He grabbed her hand. They both went to their knees, and they prayed these ugly, I mean, it was a sobbing, weeping. It wasn't pretty at all. And I was just amazed. I was amazed. I went and I prayed for other people. And finally, I came back, and maybe it was 10 or 15 minutes later, and they stood up. And this is what they said. The husband spoke. He said, I don't know how we're going to make it, but I know we're going to make it. And the wife just nodded her head through the entire time. And I was standing back going, wow. Because on all accounts, I think I've logged in about 30,000 hours of counseling. That relationship was done. It was pronounced dead. Except for they came to the altar. They were angry with each other. I'm so glad they didn't take it out on God and sit there and not move. They came to the altar, and that you can think of the altar as the potter's wheel. And God was able to still mold something. And here's the difference between counselors and the wonderful counselor. Is we do very little. We're just a bridge from your situation to the throne, but that wonderful counselor is more than able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask or think. He can take ashes, and from there, all of a sudden, there is beauty. And the world looks around and says, how is that possible? And we say it's the glory of God. And anyone in this room who's been married for more than 30 or 40 years will tell you that at the end of the day, that is their testimony. To God be the glory. Why don't you lift your hands and somebody give God some praise. Magnify him for a moment or two. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for who you are. We honor you, God. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. Everyone say the word oneness. If you've got something to write with, write this word down, oneness. I want to ask for your indulgence for how I conduct this time we have here at this retreat. Many years ago, I started to notice that at events like this, there was so much information. This one will be very similar. You can only grab a few pieces of it, but there was almost no time and no interaction, no time for the couples to actually talk to each other. And how many know when we get back to Monday, it's back to the rat race of it all? And I noticed that just the efficacy of the interactions and the teaching, it just wasn't where it could be. And so several years ago, I just shifted things. And I want to give you time together to talk about your relationship. I'm going to lead you in very safe ways to do that. But that's sometimes uncomfortable. And I've had guys say, you mean I've got to talk to her? Yeah, you kind of do. Now, you can use bullet statements, that works, but you got to talk to her. All right, so please be prepared for that. And we're not going to dive into big issues, but we do want to have, I want to give you time to talk, and we'll do just a little bit of that tonight and then more tomorrow. But for tonight, I want to have some fun too. Is that all right? All right, so let's have a little fun, and then we'll do a little work, and then we'll call it quits. I need a couple who will help me. Okay? Yeah? Wonderful. Come on. He said, are you not a couple? Are you a couple? Are you not? I'm just uh-oh. Thanks for volunteering there, sis. She's like, thanks for volunteering right there, bro. This is so easy, right? This is so easy. You stay right where you are because you're in a perfect spot, actually. And, bro, you come over here with me. I love the brain, and I'm kind of just, I'm intrigued by it. And this weekend, I want you to, so I'm going to model for you, and then we're going to pray. Okay, so we're going to model, and we're going to pray. If we model it and we don't pray, someone raise your hand and go, hey, you said we're going to pray. We're going to model it and pray. Not only are there some things that you should learn, there are some things that you absolutely have to unlearn. Okay? And if you don't, it's going to counteract the stuff that you already know or the stuff that you learn. Let me give you an example. So this good brother, do you forgive him for volunteering in front of all these people? She said in a minute. I tried to put her on the spot and shame her a little bit and didn't even work. See, you're off the hook. You owe me for that one. Let me see your wagging finger, because you're going to tell him the what for. His brain is so smart. His brain. Do I need to get another couple? I crack myself up. I do. His brain is so smart that his brain records interactions. And it prepares him for the next interaction based on the interaction it had before. And it doesn't matter how much he prays, because God built his brain to do this. So God's not going to undo something that you pray about that he did. So stop praying that prayer. We'll pray a different kind of prayer. All right? And so he comes home from work, and his wife is on the warpath. Give him the what for? He walks in the door, and she just lays into him. Just walk in the door, bro. Go ahead. You can do it. And just lay into him. And she gives him the, and then she, and then you probably, and you ought to, wow. Pick up your socks. And you ought to, no, he doesn't. In real life, she's like, you know, in real life, he's like, whoa, what's that about? And so he goes to work. And he gets to work, and when he walks in, hey, great presentation the other day. And you did, you know what, you are so impressive. We've got headquarters coming in, like the work headquarters, and we're gonna introduce you to the VP because you're the kind of employee that everyone wants to have. So proud of you. And by the way, you got a 10% raise. Just want you to know, retroactive to the beginning of the year. Thank you for your work. And he's so happy, he's proud, he's excited. And he goes home, bum ba dum ba dum bum bum, and she is on the warpath, and she lays into him. And now her problem is she's got that Goliath gene. It puts her hands on her hips and says, give me a man that I might fight with him. And she lays into him. And now his brain is picking it up. Listen, it doesn't matter how much he loves her. Doesn't matter what he thinks about her. Does not matter one bit. His brain is picking up unsafe. The next day, he goes to work. His brain says, safe. Let your guards down here. Put your guards up here. So he goes to work, and again, it's another great experience. And people compliment him, and man, this and that. And he's so excited, he's so lifted up, he doesn't even want to go home. And on his way home, he's excited, he's happy, and he reaches out to touch the doorknob. And he touches the doorknob, and the brain chemistry changes from that brain chemistry that's true when you're happy to the fight, flight, freeze brain chemistry that says, get ready for war. And so when he walks in, his hearing is more acute. Everything about him is on high alert. And his brain is working overtime now to undermine this oneness that God has put together. And it's his brain doing the work. Now I'm telling you, they can go pray all night long. But as long as they're still at the warpath and this dynamic is happening, the marriage will continue to deteriorate. So here's what happens. He goes to work, and he's off at work, and the pastor's wife says, I've noticed something about Sister So-and-so. I just feel led by God to go and just minister to her. So the pastor's wife, I need a stand in. I'm not going to pull you out. Come on. You can stand in. You are a pastor's wife. So, a pastor's wife calls and says, hey, can I come over? I just want to talk. And she says, yeah. And the pastor's wife comes over and says, you know, there's so much stress in life sometimes and this and that. And I just have to tell you that lately you have just looked so upset and so stressed. And I noticed an interaction last night between you and your husband, and I noticed how you spoke to him, and I just thought, let's talk, because there's a better way of speaking to him, and I want to support you, I want to pray for you. And she just feels so repentant, and she weeps and she cries, and she says, and he won't pick up his socks, and he won't do this, and I just want to wring his neck, and he won't do that. How do you do this? And she says, oh, sweetie, it's going to be okay. And she gives her good advice, and she prays through, man. She is praying in through. She is, the Holy Ghost have moved. And she says, you know what? That was the devil getting on me. The devil calls all that. She rebukes the devil. She's feeling good. She spoke in tongues. And he's at work. You can go home now. Yeah, First Lady did her job, so she's going home now. She's all set. She is the ideal wife now. She's that sweet wife. She's that helper. Everything she does. He said she cooks and everything. Just she's that. Uh-oh. See, you getting me in trouble here? And he goes home, and he touches the doorknob, and his brain tells him it is not safe. Go into fight or flight. Freeze. He walks in, and she says, "Hi, honey." And he says, "What do you want?" And she says, so he has no idea what has transpired while he was at work. And she says, I cooked your favorite meal. She's trying to mend this. And he says something like, "You've done this before." He says something like, "Since when? You never cook." And now, see, the sweetness that was there is starting to kind of fade a little bit. And she's about to turn back into Goliath. He's ruining it and doesn't even know it. Because his brain and his body is geared to fight. And the question might be, how many of us can fall into that sometimes too? Don't raise your hand. At least nobody else, please raise your hand. Let's just assume that all of us could fall into that at some point or another. Now, this first welcome home, honey, is going to be a little rough. It's going to take a conversation now between the two of them to work out whatever was going on, and it's going to take him being the husband he has been called to be and her being the wife she has been called to be for a season before it clicks back up here in this recording brain that it's safe here. The truth of the matter is, this is our sanctuary. This is where it is safe. This is why sometimes if you can just get to church, you're like, if I can just get to church. Because that place has become a place that's safe. Or many people, pastors are not always happy when they get phone calls, but many people are eased just by the sound of his voice. Which is why I record myself. I'm like, call this message. Don't call me. You know. "Hello, this is Pastor Blash, and you should be feeling better in about 10 seconds. God bless you. Thank you so much. Beep." I said two or three times already that they can pray as much as they want to until they do this better, it's not going to help. And I said that on purpose. I'm not trying to suggest to you that prayer doesn't work. I'm telling you, prayer does not supersede the hard work of the discipline of doing the Word of God. Prayer complements the Word of God, but it won't replace it. And so we need to have that spirit. We need to pray. But you can't assume that that's going to somehow make up for the discipline. And the discipline is hard. And it's much, much easier just to do the praying. Can we do one more? One more? Just oh, good. Can I get a volunteer? Oh, you know what? You two are already up here. All right, goodbye. You're off the hook. We call that voluntold. This brother right here, imagine that he is the poster child of just godliness and grace. And imagine. And his pastor would brag on him, and we're gonna make them both. Ah, marriage enrichment. Characters welcome. we're gonna make these two both 21. Huh? Did I work? All right. And really, this is just it. This young man is as a single person. He's the kind of young man that when he had a problem, he said, "Pastor, I need the key to the church. I'm just going to, can I just stay maybe to midnight? Or can I just stay and pray through it?" And the pastor's like, "Whoa, yeah." And he does. He does like an all-night prayer, which technically ends at 2 a.m., you know, because then you fall asleep. But he prays through stuff. And I mean, he prays through it, and he's a worshiper, and that's how he does things. He locks himself in until he has touched the throne of God. And there is, I mean, just the impartation of God comes through, and he feels the Holy Ghost, and then he leaves. And sometimes it's a day, and sometimes, you know, he'll go shower and come back. It's 2 days, and that's how he rose, and that's how he has maintained, and he's risen above the cares and stuff of this world, and he is a stellar young man that any pastor will be proud to have. And this young lady is 21, and her pastor would just brag on her. As a matter of fact, if someone said, "Pastor, who is that one young lady in your church that you would just point to as a model for others?" Pastor would say, "Oh, this is her right here. She is just it. She is so godly. She surrounds herself with mentors. She's got like 3 or 4 strong women in the church, and she is so godly. When she goes through stuff, she will reach out to those people, and she will get help, and she will receive the counsel. And she's strong and she's steady, and that group of mentors have helped her to stay above the stuff of life, and she is just an ideal person, and they just would make a good couple." And so they see each other, they fall in love, and her friends say, "Well, my first impression is Fruit Loops." And I'm sorry, no. No, come on, you're the captain. Come on, Captain Crunch. All right, you get it. All right, so. All right. Oh. Job security. They see each other and they're like, whoa, like, you know, and so they become Facebook buddies and all that stuff. And they get together. And it's wonderful, and everyone's so proud. That's the wedding that everybody wants to come to, because you know it's going to be wonderful and incredible. But no matter how much they love each other, no matter how perfect they are, no matter that they don't really walk on the earth because they're so spiritual, they float, life will bring problems. They're going to have problems. It's going to happen. And so the problems come. And, you know, when he was single, he had enough money to go around. And when she was single, and she had enough money, but then you get married and somehow there's not enough money to go around. How did that happen? Right? And so the bills, you're so good at this. And so the bills stack up, and when the bills stack up and the pressure is on, they never worked through financial problems together because, well, they haven't been married before, but now they are. And so now they got to talk about finances and communication and finances and children and sex. Those are like the big things that get in the way. And so now they got to talk about finances. And she's like, "Well, let's get the checkbook and let's look." And he's like, "You got to balance those things?" And she's like, "Yeah." And oh, man. They're not agreeing. I'm making this up. Play along. You can't be telling your business. Everyone nods and smiles. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. So you know, this is how it goes. And they get into an argument. "No, it should be done this way. If you do it that way, you're going to cost us, and we can't." And so they're not happy anymore with each other over this issue. But you know what? Jesus, he can fix it. And so, that's right. And he says, you know what? He can fix it. You're right. I'm going to take care of this. And he says, I'll be back in a couple days. And he does what he's always done. These two are still two. They're not one. And you know it when crises hit, because he's going to do it. And so he calls pastor. Pastor, can I get the key to the church? Now, this still sounds good, because I want to pray. Well, who's going to say no to that? And so he locks himself in all night. And because he doesn't want to be interrupted by the devil, he turns his cell phone off. And because, you know, he does. This is what he gets a cell phone, and he says, this is going to compete against the knowledge of God, and I won't have it. And he turns that thing off, and he locks himself in, and it's 11 o'clock and it's midnight and he's used to doing this. And it's one and it's two. And she's going, where is he? What am I going to do? And she's panicking. And she says, I need help. She picks up the phone and she calls those people who have always helped her. And they work it out and she feels better. And it's 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning and he comes home. He feels better because God gave him an answer. And he comes back home and he says, I feel better and thank God. And, you know, it's going to be all right. And she says, I feel better too. He goes, whoa, how'd that happen? Well, I just called three of my girlfriends and told them we were broke. And he says, you did what? We're just pretending here. You know? You can be married all you want, but your marriage certificate doesn't mean you're one. No, it doesn't. And in this example, it's an example of how they've stumbled upon a situation that told them they weren't one. So that's okay. It's going to happen. It's a new situation. First time they ever dealt with it. And they have to figure out now, how do we deal with stuff together? Because I can no longer disappear for a day and a half. But that's what he knows, and that's what he's good at, and that's how he touches God. And maybe because of how sensitive some things can be in marriage, remember the four I gave you, money, communication, children, and sex, there are some things she probably can no longer reach out to her girlfriends who go to church with him and tell them about. Y'all look at me like, be more clear than that. You don't want me to be any more clear than that. Just nod like you get it, right? And so now, but that's how she touches God and finds clarity. And that's what's kept her all these years. And so what you're really asking him to do is surrender the thing that's kept him connected to God and above all the fray of life. And you're asking her to do the same thing. And if they say no, then these two are still two. And the coming together is not easy, but it's necessary. Because I don't think God's interested in having us as two when he said, this thing that I joined together, then let no man bring asunder. So I want to talk you through some practical techniques for dealing with both these scenarios I just presented. But first, give these guys a big round of applause. And the first couple. Everybody do this with me. I'm just kidding. Don't bow down there. And now, years and years ago, people would pray this way. And some of us may still do it. Nothing wrong with that. You know, kids all the time do that. And so you see people praying. That might be a sign that you remember this and do this. This is the natural gravity of all relationships. The myth is that over time, relationships all come together. It's a myth. The truth of the matter is, without work, the natural gravity will pull them apart. Let me give you a couple examples. If you stop talking to God in prayer, you won't naturally grow close to him. You will naturally begin to fall away from him. So the prayer is that pressure to keep you in, that's that force that keeps you together. Or a garden. If you just leave it alone, naturally it's going to develop more weeds. But it's just the way of things. And so couples don't naturally come together. Now, it's true that couples begin to develop similar preferences. Some people say that the longer people are married, the more they look alike. Don't they, dear? It ain't always true. How do you work this out? Please write down the word purpose. And I'm going to give you time to talk. Purpose. If you have a piece of paper, write down the word purpose. If you don't have a piece of paper, then there's somebody provided paper and we can toss it, we can send it back. So if you want to just pass one back and send those back, and then if you don't have paper and you need it, it'll come back. Write down the word purpose, and you're going to work, so you're going to need enough paper to actually take notes on. And this will take about 15 minutes. So I want to tell you where I'm going because I don't want to trick you into a place. I want to tell you exactly where we're going and how I plan to get there. My supposition is simply this, that any behavioral standard that's designed to keep us together is undermined if it's not first, if it's not preceded by purpose. My wife says sometimes I'm wordy. I don't know where she got that. To tell someone you need to do this, this, and this without saying the why, that people are asking questions, then why? But if you understand the purpose, then you understand the standards, and I'm not talking about church standards so much as relationship standards that are required to fulfill the purpose. You know, you have to wash your hands. Well, why? Well, you're serving food. Okay, got it. I understand. My purpose is to serve food, so it makes sense that you hold me to a standard of cleanliness. But if you didn't tell me about my purpose, then all this other stuff really kind of falls out to the side. So a couple who is going through strife will find it much easier to let themselves separate if they don't get purpose. Where are the newlyweds? Are you bashful? I love it. She spoke up and said he's not, so I'm guessing. I'm guessing neither of you are, so come on and help me. Want to help? This is easy. I'm not going to ask you any questions or put you on the spot. I'm not going to ask you any questions. That's perfect. Go ahead. No, here, stand right there. We're going to do the whole wedding thing. That's good. That's good. That's good. Perfect. And face me because we're, it'd be nice if every wedding just kind of paused and someone leaned up and said, exactly why are you doing this? Beyond that, what is the purpose? What do you think God can do with the both of you? Now, if you don't answer the question, either you're just not spending the time it takes to get to the answer, or maybe you don't think God has a purpose for you, There's a problem if you're not answering it. There's probably a greater problem if you can't answer it. I want to ask you to spend time tonight, and I want you to answer that question. And it doesn't have to be grandiose. He put us together to save the world. But it shouldn't be so nebulous and general that it doesn't mean anything. But what is it that God has purposed you to do together? Why is this important? Because when they're spatting, and when it's not comfortable, and when they're not sure this was a good idea, and when all that, and when he decides that maybe I can turn and walk away because I'm mad at you, here's what he's walking away from. He's not walking away from her. She's not walking away from him. He's walking away from that purpose. And that purpose, for most people, has been something that God has been engineering for all their life. And then he brings them together, like he did Adam and Eve, for a combined purpose, which you cannot walk away from. And so I'm asking you to think this through, and I know it puts an extra weight on your shoulders because it adds another level of complexity, but that complexity is already there, whether you know it or not. What is it that God has purpose you to do together? Now, let's say that you've never thought about this, and you're going, well, I don't know. Then talk about it. Here's how it might work. Where'd you two go? You can come back together now. You're like, we got to work it out because the kingdom is bigger than my hurt feelings. And they hurt. But the kingdom is bigger than that even. The kingdom is bigger than my offense. And I'm offended. So we got to deal with that. But the kingdom is bigger. Because individuals who are strong end up making couples who are strong that then make churches who are strong. And the church's job is to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. And so this is huge. You walk away from this and you've just weakened your church. And you got to know that. It's more than, well, he was childish, she was this. It's more than that. But if you don't start with purpose, then the standards of life that are required to make a strong relationship won't make sense to you and you won't apply them. And you get no benefit from them if you don't apply them. So thank you, too. You did such a good job. I want to take 1 minute, and I want to give this to my wife, and I want to put her on the spot. Oh, you should have seen the look she just gave me. Like, you did? Yeah, I know, right? I was like, hey, cut it out.
It was only a micro expression.
But I read micro expressions. So I'm putting my wife on the spot, and she has just a little idea of where I'm going with this, because I've kind of prefaced it. But let's say that we've not talked much about our purpose. How do we even get this conversation started? I'm modeling it for you, because in 30 seconds or so, I'm going to ask you to hover together with each other and do this. Now, I haven't looked carefully enough to know, but sometimes people show up and their spouse isn't here. You can still do this. You can write this down if that's the case. And so she says, we haven't talked about this, so let's walk through this.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked about it. We haven't talked about it.
Well, we're working in the church. I mean, we're doing something. I feel called by God to be a witness. I feel called by God. I think our marriage is important.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do believe that our marriage and our family life is to bring glory to God to begin with. And just the fact that, you know, that how we communicate, how we raise the kids and all these things.
Oh, the kids, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Five
yeah.
of them.
Well,
yeah, that's a part, isn't it?
Yeah, multiple.
That's right, the fruitful multiply
yes,
stuff.
We got that.
We got that. All right, good job.
But it's not just having them only, but also the whole raising and all that.
That's like the fine print.
Yeah, that is the fine print, but.
Okay, so we've got to be an example.
Yes.
But I don't think we go out and have to like look at us world, but I think we have to be.
Well, for us women, I mean, especially the young ladies in the church, the single ladies, they just watch. Yeah. And take mental notes. At least that's what I used to do when I was single. I would watch couples in the church, and I would think, this is a good example. I'll remember that, and I'll copy
that.
So
we've got to do some of that.
But I would also watch the stuff that I would not want to repeat. So we have to be a good example.
Well, and we are pastoring a church. I think that's very important. And that's what we're called to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so God did a lot of work in our lives to get us here, and we're called to lead that church. It's a bigger purpose than my vocation. It's a bigger purpose than my hurt feelings. It's a bigger purpose than the times that I am wounded, the times that it's bigger than that. And those things are all big, but it's bigger than that, and that's our purpose. Okay, that's maybe how it would go. Maybe you're already there, and you know your purpose. You don't have to have that clumsy conversation, but it's okay if it's clumsy. But I need you to take a few moments and just huddle right where you are and answer the question, what is our purpose? If you want to write a global answer to win the loss, that's fine, but also answer it a little deeper than that. And this is the part where you actually have to talk to each other. And I'll give you about 3, 4, 5 minutes. So you may not get it done. Yeah, you want to, oops, I'm going to turn that off, don't I? Even if you're just getting started, we'll take another maybe minute or two. I know you might not finish it. Just raise your hand if you're about done, or you're done. Okay? We'll take a few more moments then. Done? Oh, yeah. Praise God. I'm wondering if there's anybody who would be willing to share what you wrote, and I can start. I wrote, what I wrote was lead the church, and then I thought, well, that's not first. So above that, I wrote raise kids, because we have children. Actually, they're kind of older, but still. The oldest is 27, so 27, she's about raised, and down to 16. But that's an important part. My wife talked about being an example, and what she said was, it's really how to show other people how to overcome the difficulties, because sometimes we go through them. Sometimes our lifestyle takes us above them and we don't go through them, but many times we will go through them. And how do you do that with the grace of God? We had a couple in our church and they lost a baby. It was not just a couple in our church, it was the first couple we married in the church, and it was the first baby of the church. And we lost that, so it was a church baby, and we lost that baby. And the couple called me, that was maybe a Thursday, and they called me and said, Pastor, we've never missed church. We don't know what to do. Should we come? And I said, well, you've never missed. Nobody would blame you if you missed this Sunday. But if you're okay to come, then yeah, come. Come after worship service and just slip in the back and be there. Be there for the word. And they came at the tail end of worship service, and we were singing a song, and they stood there, both of them, with their hands lifted, with tears flowing, but hands lifted, hurting. I mean, just heavy. But God was carrying them. It's a model to the world, not that we're somehow so much better, but that when we hurt, we have a great physician, and this is how we lean on him, and this is how he heals us, and he will heal you too. And you can lean on him too. And that's what it is to be a model, not we're so great and wonderful, you should be like us. We are great and wonderful, but sometimes we go through things. Somebody else want to share what's the purpose? And maybe you have one word, or maybe you have a sentence. Anybody want to share what you wrote? You going to leave me by myself to do that?
Given the word, showed the word to them, and so I think they've already expected us to kind of fall out of this, and like that's just a patient going through. being an example to our family.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means the day he or she gets so angry that they want to out, it's just too much work trying to figure each other out. What they're really saying is, God, send somebody else to do this job because we quit. Not just each other, but we quit this purpose. And I tell people, if you're going to quit, at least own it. Say, God, I quit. You know, but don't not recognize that the purpose is there. So beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Easy. Somebody else, maybe one other person. One other person. Okay, if you're not, yeah. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. One more. Anybody? Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because we've been together for 3 months now. So we're kind of moving away too.
3 months in? People who are musicians, and early on they know it, they practice hours and hours. They discipline themselves in a way that others don't have to because they know their purpose. They get it. They get their calling. And then it makes sense. So my question to you, and we won't answer it tonight, but maybe tomorrow, is what kind of life do you have to live with each other in order to fulfill that purpose? I want you to think about that. And if this has been, and I guess maybe I will ask one more question, and this will be maybe the second to last thing I do. Was that difficult? How hard was it to have that conversation? Anybody want to answer that part? Yes, difficult, not hard at all.
Awkward, but not hard.
Yeah. And right, it's work. It's real work. And it's so much more fun to not do this stuff. But this is what makes strong relationships. And here's the scary part. I know I didn't give you enough time, and some of you didn't finish it. And you may not. But if you don't finish it, you leave a highway into your life for the enemy and for the cares of life to come and pick apart the things that matter. And probably more important than that, you're going to have a hard time living the standard in that relationship. What standards, and again, I'm not talking about church standards, I'm talking about relationship standards, must you put in place in order to do the purpose? Let me give you a couple examples. If you're going to disagree about church, if you're going to be upset about something in the church, you can never share that with your family. As a standard, you have to agree on that. Why? It'll undermine our purpose. So other people may have more liberty, but you don't. And that's an easy standard to apply when you understand your purpose, all right? So I want you to take that extra step and think about what kind of standards do you have to apply for that to become true. And dear, do you have some words for me? And so my wife went around and grabbed some of the two couples who had been married for a while and said, you know, give a tip. What makes it work? I'm going to leave you with this. Communicate and never go to bed angry. And you're saying, well, we can't do that. Learn. Work on it. Maybe you can't this week, but learn. Wouldn't it be a shame if next month you're in the same spot? And if you learn to do this, how cool would it be if you taught someone else? All right, so good. You can do that. And the other one says praying together, and I'm going to just say talk because I can't read that first word. Huh? Oh, she said that's correct. And talk. Communicate. Keep talking. We got a lot more to talk about tomorrow. Thought I would leave you with that tonight. Amen. Unless you have questions, I'm going to say God bless you. Questions? Then God bless you.
We appreciate the good word, Brother Blash. If you appreciate it, let's give him a good round of applause again. Practical and substantive and godly and good. Brother Blash is Dr. Brother Blash, and his expertise is in family counseling. He runs a clinical practice there in St. Louis area and also works for a major university there. Pastors a church. He's a very, very busy man, and that just means his wife coordinates his life with a lot of skill. But we really appreciate him taking the time to be with us and to share with us. This is going to be a wonderful weekend. Good evening tonight, and then tomorrow it's going to be great. And we're gonna work on these things, and we're gonna be better. Our cores are gonna be stronger, and everything that we do will have greater impact. Our children will prosper, and our church family will prosper because of it. And we just really appreciate you coming. You've come a long way, and you've had a long day. And we really appreciate you coming and sharing this with us tonight. Now, in the morning, breakfast at 8:30. And then we'll start whenever it looks like we're kind of winding down from breakfast, somewhere around 9:30, 10, something like that. Or maybe a little after, depending on how long it takes you to find and navigate the grits. So that'll be here in this room. All right, let's give God thanks and praise for what he's doing in our lives. The privilege of being a part of the kingdom of God. We thank you, mighty God, and we praise you. We worship you. We magnify you. Lord God, we just pray you lay your hand on everything we do in this house. Be blessed. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. God bless you. Go forth and